Blog Talk Radio.
Less of me and more of you is what I need. Show me your glory and show me your power. Less of me and more of you is what I need. Less of me,
less of me, and more of you is what I need.
need the Lord's glory on today. I don't know about you, but I need God's glory each and every day. Truly, we give God glory and praise for all of his wonderful works. We want to read into your hearing today Psalm 100. And we're going to read, there's only five verses in this particular passage of Psalm. And we're going to do this today. We're going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We're going to send up some hymns today. Hallelujah. We have been on this line this week, each and every day, Monday. And today is Friday. Today is Provoke Friday. Ah, we want to provoke God's presence today. We want to invoke his presence. Amen. And as Pastor Hamilton comes today, we want the Lord to just have his way. Amen. So I want to read this scripture into your hearing on today, and I want you to really feast upon it. I don't just want to be reading it as some words. You know, sometimes we can just read as words, but you got to feel this thing. You got to be thankful. You got to be grateful. You have to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Ha! Again, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is good. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Hallelujah.
Enter into his gates. We're going to do that on this evening. We're going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good.
And
his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. Now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you once again this morning, this afternoon, rather. And, Lord God, we come to lift you up. We come to give you some praise, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for it is you that have renewed your mercies upon us this morning.
Hallelujah.
Lord God, and we thank you for renewed mercies on this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us another opportunity to come on a time of reflection and lift up the name of Jesus. We thank you for this Friday. It's called Provoke Friday. Ah, hallelujah, Lord God, and we thanking you for another opportunity to give you glory and to give you praise. Lord God, we thank you for everything that our ears have heard on this past week. Lord, we thank you for this word. You said in your word, Lord God, to hide this word in our heart that we may not sin against you. Lord God, we thank you for Sister Ruby on this afternoon. We thank you for Sister Faithful that have manned these switches and have opened up this broadcast every day this week. We thank you for the series of the Acts of the Apostles. We thank you for Elder Gates and Apostle Johnson and Minister Stakes and all those that have been coordinating this program while I was absent, Lord God. Oh, God, we asking you to give them a hundredfold blessing, Lord God, for every sacrifice they made on this past 2 weeks. And, Lord God, we asking you to bless the man of God that have decided, and have given us this time of Provoke Fridays. Lord God, we asking you to let your spirit come on in, God, and everybody that need a touch, Lord God. God, we don't have to go to individuals to find out what their need is, for you already know what the need is, Lord God, and you already said those that call upon you, you would hear them, Lord God. We're going to call upon you today, God, but first of all, Lord God, we want to tell you thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for being God all by yourself. Thank you, Lord God, for having mercy upon us on today. Oh, your word say your mercy endures forever. Lord God, and we thank you for the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and they're saved, Lord God. We thank you for having a place, Lord God, that we can run into. We thank you, Lord God, for never turning your back on us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the grace that you have administered to us on this past week, Lord God. Ah, we thank you for the men and women of God everywhere. We thank you for our listeners, hallelujah. Those that are in the chat room, those that are listening live on the internet, Lord God. Oh, God, let a word be said today to encourage them. Let a word be said today where they can worship you and give you praise, Lord God. Not for no good thing that we've done. Hallelujah. For all praises and all glory and honor, it belongs to you, Lord God. For you are the creator. You are the maker of heaven and earth, God. Oh, God, we thank you. For heaven, hallelujah, is your throne, and the earth is your footstool, Lord God. And we come graciously today to bow down before you, Lord God. We want to bow down in your presence, Lord God. And we want you to use us, Lord God. Oh, God, touch us in that place that may have been void in our life, God. Touch us in that place where we're empty, Lord God. Touch us in that place where we may not feel appreciated, Lord God. Touch us in that place where we may feel like somebody has something against us, Lord God. Oh, God, bring us to the throne room of grace on today. Ah, God, we ask you to enter into your throne room today, and we want to enter in with thanksgiving. We want to enter in with praise, Lord God. We want to enter in blessing your name, God. God, we bless you, hallelujah. And we give you praise and we give you glory. Ah, we give you praise and we give you glory. How many needs the Lord glory on today?
Hallelujah.
Ah, he said, the songwriter said, I need your glory. I need your glory, Lord God. I can't do nothing without you. Ah, it's because of you that I live. It's because of you that I walk my path. Oh, God, for that, Lord God. We're going to give you our praise today. We're going to give you our all today. We're going to be a different kind of party. Hallelujah. We're not calling anybody out here for kidding. We're going to do this thing as a collective body on today. How many have needs out there today? How many have some situations that you think you can't see your way through? Well, I tell the praise to bring out the worship will bring you into another place. And we thank you, Lord God. We need your glory, good God. Come on in, God. You are already welcome. Ah, you say what else? Two or three. Touching you and bringing on anyone thing. We say you would be in the midst. Oh, God, we're standing on your word today. We're standing on your promises today. For your promises is yay. Your promises are amen, God. We need your glory today. We need your glory, God. Have your glory, God. Have your way, minister to our hearts today. Encourage us, Lord God. Give us a new mindset, Lord God. Provoke us to change, God. Provoke us, hallelujah, to love. Provoke us, hallelujah, God. Provoke us, hallelujah, to use all the things of ourselves, but to think on the things of others.
Show me your
worshiper out there that'll join me. Come on, let him know that you're hungry for him, that you're longing for him, that you're thirsty for him.
Crying out to the Lord for a deliverance, for a healing, for a divine word. Now is the time to receive what God has for you. Make Provoke Fridays your personal, independent opportunity to change. Your perfect opportunity to come before Him. Put everything else aside. Yes, we got bills due. Yes, there's folks that expect. Yes, there's this. Yes, there's a lot of things I could go through right now. And it would do just what the enemy would have it to do. It would confuse us. It would throw us off of being in line with God. And most importantly, being in line with God right now. Enough is enough. Time is now to choose life. See, the Lord was showing me something the other day. And in this process of changing, we have to understand that our change is guided by choices. Now, most people would say, if you said choices in plural, there's not a bunch of choices. There's only one, two choices. You can either choose life, and that's Christ, or you can choose death, and that's the world. Now, believe me, we got to get away from even giving the enemy any kind of power, any kind of credit, because it's not the enemy. It's the world. It's the way the world has been led, and that's the things that we follow. And it's the things of God, the things that have been established through testimony, established through faith, established through belief, that what God said is already done. So as we move forward in provoking, you know, to be provoked means to incite, to push, to lead, to guide, not only yourself, but others. Provoke came, you know, the word of God came from Hebrews 10 and 24. And that, in that scripture, and I just want to give you this because I want you to understand that provoke is not personal. Provoke is universal. Provoke is something that you embrace, and then you take it and implement it in others' lives. That's how we provoke others unto. Now watch this, what it says in the Word. It says in Hebrews 10:24, it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Stir up means to provoke. Stir up means to incite. So as you embrace provoke, as you embrace these Friday afternoons that we get together and we got to make a conscious choice to say we are here for God. And not only on Fridays, we got to learn to develop habits that make this a 24/7, 365-day type of lifestyle. But as we begin our road and provoke, I want you to understand that this provoke thing, when you embrace it as truth, and it comes from the Word of God, when you embrace it as truth, it's now time to take up, to get up, to wake up, to move, to incite, to go out and provoke others. So if you're here today thinking you're going to get something just for you, yes, you will. But it's only for you to embrace as truth and then manifest it through action and incite someone else. Because that's what the Word of God says. It says to incite others. Now watch this word. It says in love. See, we can't just, a lot of us want to get out there and give instructions. And we have to be careful because it says in love. See, if you give, if you incite, if you provoke in love, then as you get to now show how to do good works, it's a lot better embraced. You know, if you think about it, you're at work and your boss comes to you and he throws this folder on your desk and he says, I want that done by 5 o'clock. Well, you know, it's really a short task and it took you till 4:45. But because of the way it was presented to you, our spirit, our psyche, our way of thinking is so worldly, is that now just because you did that to me, I'm going to do this to you. We normally could have done the report in an hour, but we made it wait till 4:45 just because of the way it was brought to us. Because it wasn't, you weren't incited through love. You are provoked through anger and through. So we're always going to, you remember, we're always going to bounce off of things, especially if they're not spiritual. But if he would have came and he would have laid it on the desk, and, or she, and she would have said, you know, sister, I should have gave this to you yesterday, and I apologize, but I really need this report, really by 3, but, you know, I know it's short notice. If you just give it to me before you leave, it will be great. You would now take that assignment because it was brought to you through love, that now you can do a good work. See, we have to understand that this word has to be transformed. Not only from letter, it has to be changed from letter into perception. See, we can get a lot farther in our walk, in our life of Christ, in our calling, when we learn that, first of all, you have to know what you're called to do. And then when you know what you're called to do, you got to know how to follow and do your calling in excellence. It only comes by someone willing to impartake into you the push through love and good works. So that's why Provoke is here. We want to provoke you through love, but we also want to hold you accountable that this thing is about doing good works. And good works aren't part-time or sometimey. They're all the time. The good works mean excellence. Good works means commitment. Good works means that you're willing to go the extra mile to do what you have said you do. And that's where we fall short sometimes. And in all of that, here at Provoke Fridays, we're going to try to do some stuff that's spectacular. We're going to try to do some stuff that's unordinary. Some things you may say, you know, I've never heard that before. But I guarantee you that the word will be here to give us everything we need to confirm that this is just not some word that's being blah, blah across the air. This is a word that has been given by God and now put into a printable form. And if you guys remember, or anyone was here when we did our 2 days of Provoke, regaining your birthrights, a principle is something that is set in standard, and a principle does not change. When you set a principle in your household, until there is a principle meeting, that principle does not change. And if it's a principle of godliness, it will stay in order. But when we miss point A or point C, and we don't follow the principle all the way through, that is where we lose ground and the enemy starts to grab control. So today, starting day number 1, now remember, anybody that was here before, you know, I'm not really into titles and all that, so we're just going to call me Coach. And your coach is going to, first of all, hold you accountable to stay focused. That this is, if please don't take this the wrong way, but if this is just something you do to support a friend, then this may be not the right place. But if you are really here today to say, you know, I heard something that sparked a fire in me, and I am tired of being sick and tired, and also enough is enough, then you're in the right place today. And you're going to be in the right place for the entire journey that we go. This is the first day of however many God says. There's not a time limit on it. There's not a month, a calendar on it. Whatever God says do, and how our ministries can continue to connect, we would do Provoke Fridays until God says different. So starting out, I want you to understand that we'll go through 7 steps. And we may bounce back and forth, but we're going to begin today on step number 1. Now, step number 1, this is what we want to call, and I need you to say this with me. Step number 1 is the unifying principle. See, when you have a principle, there's usually a number 1 principle that everything unifies to, just like the Word of God. It unifies around God, so everything is connected. In Provoke to Purpose, we have 7 steps on changing yourself and finding your purpose. We're going to start out with step number one. Step number one is changing the way you think. We talked about this briefly in our two-day seminar here, but step number one is changing the way you think. Our brain, our ability to process information, our ability to receive and to embrace knowledge, it all comes through our brain. Now, the Word of God says, as a man or woman thinketh in their heart, so is he. Now, you say, well, that didn't say brain. It said heart. Well, but look at the first word. It says, as a man thinketh. You don't think with your body heart, the one that has arteries that pumps out blood. You actually think with your spiritual heart, which is your brain, which is your thinking mechanism, which is your, you know, believe it or not, everything is controlled by your brain. Before your hand goes up and down, there are neutrons and electrons in your mind that send out signals to your fingers to wiggle when your mind tells it to wiggle. So if we can just come in agreement that the mind is the spiritual heart of what the Word of God is saying, that as a man thinketh or a woman thinketh in his or her mind, so is he. So if you're wondering why some people walk around crazy, if you got told enough times over and over and over again that you were crazy, guess what you will become? Crazy. If someone told you, you know, and you maybe you're not fat, but maybe you're a little bit overweight, and if a person told you that you're fat enough times, guess what your mind will now convince you of? That you are fat. When we, you know, you think of a parent that tells their child every day, you're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid, you're stupid. And we wonder why when this child becomes a little bit older and starts to now intermingle with the schools and stuff like that, and they don't, you know, they were so smart. And then you understand why they now, because their mindset has been confused by the words that have been spoken unto them. So believe me, if you get told enough of one thing, you will become exactly that thing, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But enough is enough. That's why we're here. We're here to change, not just stay in the same way we've been, but to change the way we think. Now, beginning here, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, and along with this, I would suggest that everyone gets a notepad. If you don't have one, the 99 cents, we can figure out something to get you one. But if you're going to take this journey with us, it's important to accumulate some information. Yes, I could send you an email. Yes, we could text. And yes, there's a lot of things you could do. But when you write down the information that is coming through you, you would be amazed at the translation that comes out just for you. See, I could write you a letter, and you'd read that letter, but you'd read that letter through my passion. If you start to write things down on your own and start to take some really good notes, you'll start to see God working through your hand. Because now you're taking the letter and transforming it into spirit, because it's coming through in spirit and in truth. So I encourage you, get a notepad, a piece of paper, something to write on. If you're sitting down and you're all comfortable and you're ottoman and your feet are kicked up, excuse me, I encourage you to get up. If you're in a position that you always stayed in all the time, move around. I'm encouraging you to do something different, because the actions we take will benefit the product that we give. Now, that might have passed some people up, but what you put in is what you get out. If you eat enough fat foods, and I don't know why I'm getting to this, because I'm really subconscious about weight, and I'm working on that right now, so that's probably why I keep throwing the weight thing out there. And that's something God's working on me on. I'm working out now. I'm eating a little better. But the more grease you eat, guess what's going to become inside of you? So look at that. It works like everything. If you don't put good word in, you don't get good word out. If you don't put good food in, you don't get good food out. You don't. Your body doesn't get nourished correctly, and things, you know, and you just and you start to notice that your body's just not functioning the way it normally does. It's because we're not being cautious and careful of what we put in us. It's not only food, it's spiritual, it's music, it's conversations, it's friends, it's people that we've been around 10 years and they haven't produced anything for their lives that will produce something in my life, because believe me, we are in this thing together. We are in this. If we love and provoke one another, that means that we are supposed to stay in fellowship with one another. But if you're in fellowship with people in your life right now and they're not bringing something to the table, I don't care how hard this may sound, I have to tell you, like it is, you better move around and get something else going, because God is calling us to get in order. And if you're in order and you got some people around you that's not in order, that could pull you back out of order. You tell, I pray every day. I do this every day. But you still hang out with them because, you know, you may think in your heart that you were called to save them. Or you may be, and maybe you were. But the season may not be right now, because God is calling us to get in a place that we can now stand and go out and make disciples in excellence. See, a lot of us go out by ones. It says go out by two, but we go out by ourselves, and we wonder why we keep getting beat up, because we're not going out the right way. So in changing, step number one, in changing the way we think, we're going to take a journey on the brain. Not only spiritually, but physically, because to know how to correct something, you have to know how something operates. And we've done studies, and the ministries that we've been a part of have taught us certain principles that will reveal what the mind is supposed to be about in God. And then how we now will see that how when we start to work on the mind, everything else starts to fall into place, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you have your Bibles and your notepads, I'm going to direct us to start out. Everybody say, oh, that's a familiar scripture, but it's dynamic. Romans 12, and we're going to begin at the first verse. We could skip straight to 2 to get to the main meat of what we're trying to say, but there are a lot of things that are said before and after all those. You know, we have all those little certain scriptures that we memorize, and we, yes, we can quote a scripture, but sometimes, you know, there's more meat in the scripture before and the scripture after that would really edify the main scripture that we kind of look over. So I'm just going to say that we just have to be a little bit more willing to go a little bit farther, and maybe a lot farther, to get what God has for us today. Amen. Romans 12, beginning in the first verse, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay, let's stop right there. Now, living means that as you are walking, talking, breathing, and functional, that we have been given a mandate to not only just be in the mercies of God, but see, you can be in the mercies of God, but we now have to make a choice, because when you present, that means you present your bodies as a holy sacrifice. So how many times have we, as a living sacrifice, how many times have we read in the Bible about a sacrifice of Christ's sacrifice for us? So that's telling me that, number one, that I must present myself in everything I do as a living sacrifice to God. As I walk, as I talk, as I breathe, my objective is to be on the altar at all times. Because I'm living all the time, I must be a sacrifice all the time. Now, as you're becoming a sacrifice, now here, see, when you get into the word and you get into it deeply, you understand that this thing is not as easy as it sounds. That if there's a lot of components that have to be put in together, that the principle can now formulate itself and really move in our lives. We look at one scripture and think that's going to get us over. It's the whole principle that will get us through. So we present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Wow. That means that not only do I have a 9-to-5 job, but I have a job of constantly being acceptable and holy unto God. That's my reasonable service. There's no doubt about it. If I can get into line of thinking these principles of holiness as a sacrifice, as it being a service to us, you know, we think that, you know, some of these things are just promised to us and we're supposed to just get them. Well, the Bible is telling us that when you have a reasonable service, that means you have a reasonable job to become what? Holy and acceptable unto God. Number two, verse two, and do not be conformed to this world. Well, wow, that, you know, see how powerful that could be? Because now it already gave me a description of how I should live my life, but now it's going to give me warnings of how not to get out of serving God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now that word renewing is so powerful, because if they were to say renewed, I may have been willing to follow along that was only for a moment. But renewing is a word of constancy. That means that not only do you get your mind renewed, but when you continually renew it, it's a process that must continue. We can't just get dormant and understand that, you know, okay, I renewed my mind yesterday. No, it says by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable. And see, whoa, look at that. There's three more words. Look at them. I hope my Bible says the same as you. I'm reading out of the New King James, so one word may be a little off. But I think your Bible will say that it is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Wow. Wait a minute. So if I just get into the fact of changing my thinking from my way of thinking, from the world's way of thinking, it will be God's way of thinking. And you remember, if anyone who was there before, we talked about his will being done on earth as it already is in heaven. There's that connection. To stand in the zone with God is that it will be his perfect will, his perfect way. Oh, hallelujah. See, that's enough there. We can stop right there. We can get in a shout of praise. We can get in a shout of worship right there, because it's telling me that if I just get out of the world's way of doing things, that if I take some time to really consciously come before the Lord with the willingness to change, that he will do exactly what his word says he'll do. We're not to be conformed to this world. The world basically will remind you from your past. You know, we say, well, you know, I don't go to the club anymore. I don't do this. I don't drink anymore. I don't do this anymore. Well, you know, the world is not only the things of right now, but there are things from the past that remind us of our old world. So when we step out of the past and we become renewed by, you know, transformers of our minds, you know, but we still get caught up with action. How do I do this? Man, I'm saved. I pray all the time. I take my children to church. But things just still don't seem to go your way, Lord. Well, that's where we come to the fact that we understand that by changing, we must stay constant changing. We must develop the principle of not just staying in one place, but being willing to move when God says move. Now here's a little more confirmation for you. Ephesians 4 and 23 reads, and we'll read the 23rd and 24th. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in righteousness and in true holiness. Wow, that's dynamic. Because as we give our mind away and allow God's mind to become part of us, I believe it's in Philippians 2 and 5. It says, let this mind be also be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So when I let my mind be transformed, when I let my mind, when I put it into practice to be renewed, I am allowing my mind, my way, my thinking to die and allow Christ's mind to become part of me. Now, that's where we need, that's where we need to get. That when we allow the mind of Christ to just totally take over, when we allow the mind of Christ to reprogram the way we think, then we can be victorious in Christ. See, the Word of God does say, now, Bible scholars, it says that we perish for lack of knowledge. See, that's why it's such a great need for us to increase our knowledge. That's why it's so such a great need for us to increase our understanding of God's principles. That way we can now be ready to fight the good fight of faith. I went through a time in life where I fought battles and was pretty confident I was doing it the way, but I kept getting beat up because I was going out half armored up, half readied up, half prayed up, half anointed up, because I wasn't willing to go the extra mile to get all God had for me. See, it's okay to get a little of God, what God has, and there's probably evidence in your life that you are a child of God. But, you know, his blessings are supposed to come and overtake us, not just trickle down a little blessing here and a little blessing there. And that's the evidence that there's a calling on your life. But isn't it time to release the anointing, the full power of God in your life, that now you can do as Christ did? Listen, if we don't learn to follow Christ as he instructed us to follow him, we are going to fall, we are going to lose, and we are going to continue to end up right back where we started from. And it's time to go through our circumstances with power. It's time for us to go through our circumstances with anointing. It's time for us to go through our circumstances with the ability to win. The battle is not ours, but we must be prepared to go through with the conqueror, with his anointing, with his power, with his might. But if we don't learn to get in line with him and start to think like him, start to expect like him, start to walk like him, then all we're doing is twiddling our thumbs. And most of us are staying in the same place that we are. So if when we become transformed by the renewing of our minds, we need to understand that there is a war. Say that with me. It's a war. There's a war between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. Now you say, okay, well, how do you make the difference between the two? Well, I would say that the Word of God dwells in our consciousness, in our ability to stay focused on him, our ability to stay fixed on him and let his will be done in our lives. The subconscious mind, on the other hand, I would say is led by the world. It's led by how we, you know, think, I mean, how we feel and how we act. You know, our five senses would be probably the cause of a lot of us doing some of the things that we do. Now, so as in this battle that we have to fight, we have to understand that there is power in being conscious-minded, but there is death and being subconscious minded and being led by the things of this world that will not allow us to do the things of God. Just like if you're, the Word of God says that light and dark don't interchange. Good and bad don't interchange. And when we continue to try to mix the two, darkness will eventually take over. But when we give God all the glory, all the praise, and all the opportunity to be exactly what he said he would be, now we become children of the light. We become children of God. Now, in the thinking process, as we change the way we think, the number one thing that we go through when we start to now fight this battle is now getting in the right position for full protection and the full ability to fight with a victorious outcome. Now, as we battle, you must understand that this battle is daily, that this battle is ongoing, that this battle is constant, that this battle does not stop just because. But this battle can be won by being totally prepared to take back what the enemy has stolen. I mean, I'm tired of perishing. I'm tired of being resurrected from the dead. You know, we expect the being risen from the dead to being a physical death. But I see it every day in my community. There are people that God is rising from the dead of the spiritual world, and it's only coming by them being held accountable and made aware of this battle of the mind. See, when we think like Christ, we have strength in the Lord. When we become renewed in our spirit of our mind, it's a constant process. That's when, the Word says that greater is he that is in my pocket. Oh, wait, maybe I was wrong. No, it says greater is he that's in my wallet. No. It says, greater is he that is in me than the evil that's in the world. See, look how the Word shows us that there's two sides. And when you have two sides, there's always going to be a fight because one wants to overrule the other. That's why the Word of God says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you straddle a fence and you over here on Fridays and you back over here on Sundays and then Monday and Tuesday, I don't know where you at. See, you are unstable in all your ways. It is no way that we can't be successful and victorious if we continue going on both sides. We have to make a choice. We want to fight this battle, and we want to win this war, but we got to stay on the right side. And we have to understand, and we have to commit that we understand that there are two sides. And that's where we begin. We begin acknowledging the fact that there are two sides. And when there's two sides, there's going to be opposition. Look at basketball teams. These kids don't know each other, but they're on different sides. There's an opposition to what? Win. Football, basketball, tennis, cooking shows. You look at anything. So marriages even. That's another sermon altogether. I don't want to go there. But where there are two sides, there's opposition. And when we come into one accord with God, into oneness, into unity, now we get the power to win this battle of the mind. Stop going to buy a gun. Stop buying a bulletproof vest. Stop buying a machete because, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of darkness in heavenly places. We'll get to that in step three, identifying the battleground. But when we get into war, we have to understand that when we get renewed in knowledge, we get the wisdom of God. When we get renewed in knowledge, we get better understanding. The Bible says in all things, Boy, you better get some understanding. See, these are things that are telling us that we have to watch the way we think, the way we allow words, influence, outer things of this world to come in and distort our godly way of thinking. See, there's a saying that God has shared, and it says, we must let the lesser things die so the greater may live. See, sometimes for your marriage to be successful, men and women, this is not pointed at either one, but it could be whoever. But if you have to make certain sacrifices for your marriage to be successful. Because if you're not willing to give up this day to get along with her day, and her to give up this day to, you know, complement your day, you're going to have a problem. So it has to be a unified relationship to be successful. The Bible also tells us to study to show ourselves approved. 2 Timothy 2:5 for those that wanted to write that down. See, the enemy is here to block you from studying. The enemy is here to kill your relationship with God. He is here to steal your opportunity to be all God said you can be right now. See, when we get into being provoked, we understand we can have immediate change. When we start to renew our thinking, we'll get immediate results. A lot of us need a drastic move in our lives today, but are we willing to do drastic measures to get a drastic move? Maybe I should say that again. A lot of us are waiting around for drastic measures from God. But have we done the drastic things on the other side to show God that we are willing to go just as far or farther than he is? I see things moving in my life just by my actions. I see things moving in my life just by my availability. I see things moving in my life just by being conscious to hear when he says, when he speaks, to listen. When he says to move, move. When he says to get up, get up. Because when we win the battle, we stop listening to what the world says, and we start to listen to what God is saying. We don't just jump up immediately and make choices or decisions. We understand that it's in the counsel of God that are answers to everything we need to do in life. There we go again. See, it's a process. See, a lot of things that we've gotten in trouble about doing, a lot of things that we failed in, a lot of things that just didn't go the way we thought it was supposed to go, is only because we didn't wait on God.
Now,
a lot of people know me and know I'm not a wait around, sitting around, holding on type of man. I'm just not. I believe in activating God's work in my life. But a lot of times while you're working, you still have to wait on God to say now is the time. But we get so far ahead of him because we let somebody in the world tell us, or we let a circumstance show us, or we let the building that's, you know, that we thought was supposed to be for us get ready to go up for rent, and we want to move too fast when that was not the one we were supposed to get. But we moved too fast, and then we got disappointed because, well, God, I thought you said. Well, he did say. But he said Friday, not Wednesday. And when we don't get into his fellowship, and we don't get into his consciousness of being willing to let everything else die, that's when you let the lesser things die so the greater Christ can live. See, if I make a decision, and my friends will tell you, don't call him with that, I need this in 5 minutes. You better give him some time because the first thing he's going to do is say, let me pray about it. And that's not just a cliche, friends, family. That is a mandate in my life. Because I've made a bunch of mistakes in my life, lost millions of dollars, lost vehicles, houses, cars, wardrobes, and everything else off of being too fast and too impatient and not willing to let God shine his light on my circumstance. So enough is enough. I have to understand that if I and it's proof in the pudding because as I follow him in consciousness, see, this is where it gets powerful. See, when I follow him in consciousness, staying focused on him, you remember I shared with you before, there's three types of people. You got people who stay focused, attending on the subject. You got others that pretend to pretend. And then you got some that just selectively attend. They only hear when they hear their name. They only move when there's something that's going to benefit fit them.
Say that again.
And God is only looking for those that are willing to stay fixed on Him consciously. I told a friend of business this the other day. He said, "Man, how do you do it?" I said, "Well, what I do, you can do." No, man, I don't know how you get all that done. I said, "My friend, you have the same 24 hours in a day that I have. How you utilize your hours is going to show the production of your life.
Okay.
Now, I don't look, you know, I don't look tired. I'm not sickly. I'm not perfect now. Don't think I'm throwing that out there. But I'm just saying that I don't get sick. I work and utilize my time pretty efficiently, and things get done. And they ask me how. I say, because I'm willing to give my time my attention. I'm not just trying to let my time attend me. Because those hours of the day, you know, I only sleep 4 to 5 hours. That's all I ever did. But sometimes I used to be so engulfed with Young and the Restless. And I used to be so engulfed with NBA. And I used to be so engulfed with basketball and football and this and that and this and that, that my hours would get consumed with so much stuff. And when I would read my little 30 minutes of word, I thought I was supposed to be powerful. Oh, no. What are you giving your attention to? Because now, this is an app. You know how you have your phone, you can get all these applications? Well, in Provoke, we're going to start developing some apps. I have an app for this. Whatever you give your attention to, that spirit will come live inside of you. Now, let me say that one again. Whatever you give your attention to, that spirit will come live and dwell and reside in you. If you watch enough of Hollywood Housewives, and I'm not trying to put nobody on front, because I have watched that little show, Hollywood Husbands, with the little funny show. I watched it a couple times because everybody talked about it. But if you watch Hollywood Housewives or any of these sitcoms about drama, about, you know, messed up marriages, if you watch enough of that, sister, brother, baby, whoever, you look at your marriage and it'll start to look like that show. Because if you give your attention to it enough, the spirit of that show will come and get in yours.
All right.
You bargain over something you never thought would happen between your marriage, but you forgot that 2 weeks ago that was the problem that Shanika and Bobby was having. And you watched that show, you watched 3 reruns of it, and you wonder now why you got a problem with your husband that you never had a problem with it before. But you just watched it on TV, and it became a part of you.
No.
See, so what you give your attention to, you'll become exactly that.
Mm.
I want to know who a person is. If I really want, and I think I shared this before, but if I really want to know who you are, I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to 3 of your closest friends. So employees, you know, when I'm hiring employees, I'll you know, when people call in and say, "Yeah, I saw you had an effort. You know, I heard you needed some help." And when I say, "Yes, I did, but I need a couple more people. You got any friends that need a job?" "Oh, yeah, man, my best friends. Man, yeah. Bring them on." Now, I'll have them come in, and I'll interview the friends first. Because, you know, I learn more from the friends about him than I will from him exactly. Because, you know, we tell people just what they need to hear. We tell them what we think they want to hear, because we need that job. We need that position. So we only get what people think we need to hear. But if you really want to know somebody, look around. Look around at their environment, and that will show you exactly who that person is. Hands down, that's a proven principle. So we have to be careful of not only what we give our attention to, but we have to be careful of what we allow into our atmosphere. If your anointing is getting low, you better look at who's sucking it away, because God is an enricher. God does not take away anointing. He just increases it. He multiplies it. And if your anointing is getting low, I would advise you to start taking an inventory check of who's around you. Who are you giving your attention to? What are you allowing to impartate in your spirit? Hallelujah. So as we start to get conscious, as we start to get focused, as we start to get of sound mind, of clear heart, as we become, you know, the word of God says that we're supposed to be steadfast and unmovable. 1 Corinthians 15. Steadfast and unmovable. That means that nothing should be able to blow you off. Nothing should take you off of your track. Nothing should get you out of your steps that have been ordered by the God, because you are a good person. You are called of God. You have a passion. You are part of the family. But the enemy was trying to take us, he wants to take that away from us. And I know I'm not going there anymore. And this is your opportunity to say, enough is enough. And I don't want you to be like me. I just want you to show you, because I'm trying to be like Kim. You know, somebody asked me about, you know, man, you know, you don't have a relationship. And this, and this. Yes, I do. And I said, and I'm not gay, but I'm in love with a man. And they looked at me and said, what? Oh, Pastor, you know, you're not. I said, yes, I am. I'm in love with a man, and his name is Jesus. And I can embrace him. And I can color with him. And I can feel wanted by him. And I can feel valued by him. And I can feel loved by him. Mm. Now, once I develop a love of him, everything else is just secondhand. I want the woman that God has for my life, but guess what? It only comes by my love with him.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship with him would now reveal what he would say is perfect for me. When? Right now. But I have to be conscious in my mind to stay on the things of Christ. Stop allowing the enemy to take me off course. This battle has to be won. And it can't be won by putting your fists up in the air. It can't be won by buying artillery or guns. It can only be won by being spiritually sound, by being spiritually protected, and to be built up. You know, to get stronger, you know, when a weightlifter goes to a gym, for his muscles to get bigger, he has to what? Exercise. Same thing in his word. If you want to be strong in the Lord, you have to exercise the Lord. And not just once a year, not just on Easter and on family occasions and funerals, but every day, every second, every minute, every hour of the day has to be fixed on Christ. So now the question may be, how do you do that, Pastor? I have to cook. I have children. I have a job. It's easy. You take God with you everywhere you go. He's there already. But when you acknowledge that he is everywhere you go and that nothing you do is not going to be done through him, now you'll start to see order start to formulate in your life. And now everything will be all right. You know how we always say, that's our cliche, everything will be all right, baby. Well, it will be when you make everything all right. When you make decisions to say, I am going to consciously follow Christ. I'm going to consciously, every decision I make, family, we have to touch and agree right now in the name of Jesus, that every decision we make from this moment forward is going to be led by the Spirit of God. I'm not taking no more no's. I'm not making no more loans. I'm not making no more purchases. I'm not doing nothing without the counsel of God. That's a starting point. That's a starting point to say, you know what? Now I can start to say to God, well, you know, because that's what you told me to do. Because it says, remember, Romans, back in Romans 2, that it's his good and perfect will. And I guarantee you, when your life starts to get complete in his will, everything will be all right. So as we go forward, next week we're going to continue on the brain. The brain is going to probably take us about 3 sessions. Next week, we're going to get more into the world side of it, you know, the statistics, some of the things that scientists have proven about the brain. There are facts out there. There's the things that, see, we have to know the capabilities of this brain so we can now really utilize the full capacity. And there's a lot about the brain that I believe you do not know. And if you did know, you didn't understand the relativeness of the Word of God in that, the brain. So, as we move forward, I want to share with you today, we're going to talk about, we got 50 minutes until closing. We're going to let God be God, and we're going to move forward on that. So we're going to, right today, go into the subconscious mind. We're going to talk about some of the things of that. That now you have an understanding of what Pastor Ed has been talking about what culture has been saying, about how we have to have an understanding. See, if you know something on the other side, you know how to battle it and how to deal with it. But the things that kill us the most, the things that we don't know and we don't understand. Now, the body of Christ has been called according to the Word of God. The body of Christ has been mandated to live according to His world, His will. One mind, one spirit, one word, which all equals one God. So we have to start to eliminate some things that have been giving us some faulty perceptions about things. We have to eliminate some things in our lives that have allowed us to look through. You know, you can need glasses, and if every time you come to church, you want to borrow my glasses, and you're wondering why you're not understanding the word completely, is because you know you got to stop looking out of other people's glasses, and we have to stop listening through other people's ears, and we have to stop eating through other people's mouths, and we have to stop feeling through other people's feelings, and we have to stop hearing by other people's voices and get conscious and focused on God. But the enemy will use the subconscious mind to always remind you of how bad you used to be. App number two, you can get this on your iPhone and your Android. App number two is that your past, the world, will never let you be any better than you were in your past. That's why it's so important to understand what were the contributing factors that led you to make the decisions of your past. Because with your past, you could be no better today than you were then. And I don't want to be what I used to be. I don't even want to think about what I could be. I want to be who I could be right now in the immediate presence of God and allow Him to shine in my life right now. And then in the next 5 seconds, yes, another and another. And it becomes a constant process of change. Say that with me. Constant process of change.
Constant process of change.
Now, in the subconscious mind, that is built up of the flesh. It's built up by faulty, unreliable, untrustworthy senses. If you know, just because it smelled good didn't mean it was good. Now, I mean, a bunch of hands will go up on this one, but just because it looked good didn't mean it was good. A lot of us seen something and said, "Oh, she's fine. Oh, he's fine." When got married, turned around a week later, no, she wasn't. See, because we went by what it looked like and not what it was really like. Because you know, a lot of times it's not what it is. It's what it looks like it is. You and that man may have just been friends in the Word, and you and that woman may have just having dinner together, but every time the body of Christ drive by, they see you at the same restaurant that happens to have a hotel in it. Now, you know in your spirit that you guys aren't doing anything, and you guys know in your spirit that you're just friends and that you're just having dinner together and fellowshipping, but because the way it looks, people will draw perceptions on you, and people will judge you not of what it was, but what it looked like it was. So we have to get away from presenting ourselves as just anything, but presenting ourselves holy and acceptable unto Him. I'm not going to pick a restaurant to meet with a woman of God, even though we're just friends. I'm not going to pick a restaurant for us to have coffee that has a hotel to it, because that just does not look like it's in order. So it's not what you do, it's how you do it. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. The appearance will sometimes make people think that you're bad, when it's really not, that you just didn't know what you were doing. We get led by faulty perceptions. We get led by faulty processors. And those are our senses. Those are our culture and authority. If you weren't raised in church and you keep going back to the culture that you were raised in, thinking that that's going to help you get better in church, I got news for you, baby. That ain't going to happen, because what you're used to, what is spoken to you, what you give your attention to, the Spirit will come living inside of you. You go to church every Sunday, but on Friday and Saturday night, you're at the club with the girls, or you're at the club with the boys. And believe me, there's no condemnation for either sex or anything. And may I say male sometimes, may say women sometimes, but I mean all of us.
All right.
But you go hang out Friday and Saturday and go to church on Sunday and think that your anointing is supposed to be heavy. No. You just lost about 80% of your anointing off of people who were unequally yoked with you, and they drew off of you your power. They drew off of you your anointing. So when you get up and get the mic in your hand on Sunday morning and it just ain't going the way it's supposed to go and the anointing ain't flowing, it's because you gave it away and you let your birthright control it. That's why it's so important for us to be totally committed to God. See, we have to get to a point where there's no more going on, and I can slip over here on one day. I can get one. No, you can't. It's a family function. I can go. No, you can't. I can maintain because that's but no, you can't. Because enough is enough, and if you keep going backwards, you're going to stay backwards. That's what I tell people all the time. And, you know, I got friends that say, man, that was pretty straightforward. Well, I'm gonna be real with you. Time is getting short. And he's coming back for one church, whether we're ready or not. And if you're not going to make the choice to say enough is enough, then you might as well go and get your club on.
Come on.
You're going to do what you're going to do. Because when he comes, it's over. It ain't no, you know, I used to, as a kid, people used to, you know, say, if you get this with your last breath, just say, I receive you, Jesus. You're going to be okay. Well, you might be. But do you want to be a janitor in heaven, or do you want to be working up in the big house? Because there are different positions in heaven, just like it is everywhere else. And I want to be in my rightful position. I don't want to just be in some available position because they needed somebody to watch the gate and pick up all the trash. I want to be what God said I'm supposed to be. I want to have what God said I'm supposed to have. And it can only happen by the choices that we make. We can't afford any more lackadaisicalness. We can't afford any more opportunities of it just being, I tried. Maybe it'll get better. No. That has to be, those type of words have to be eliminated from our spirit. That's so important to stay conscious. Because when you become unconscious, you now are led by other folks. You are now led by stuff that really don't make sense. You are led by the past. You are led by reasoning. Oh, I thought I could. You know, it looked like I could. But you didn't. And that's where it has to become resonated in us, is that we have to make conscious choices where there's only one result that we're going to get, and that's victory. When you make conscious choices, there's no ifs, ands, and buts, but there are shalls and must and will. Bless you, and more than you can ask or receive. Then the promises of God. Here's app number three. The word is the same for me as it is for you. But the word says that his word will not return to him void. Okay. The app is, get the app that says, stop letting it come and return to you, boy. And it says that the greater things that we would do by, you know, that we would follow the example of Christ, that we would be able to do anything. That we would be able to stand, that we would be able to walk, that we would be able to talk, that we would be able to go out and make disciples in the same excellence that he did. But we can't do it the Pharisee way anymore. We can't do it the traditional way anymore. We can't do it the religious way anymore. We have to do it the spiritual way. And the only way it's going to come confirmed through the Spirit is that it's the Spirit of God. It's the spirit of oneness. It's the spirit of unity. It's the spirit of not wondering if I'm on the marquee or if I'm last or if I'm sitting in the back or if I'm up in the pulpit or if I'm, or if I'm, or if I'm, all you have to do is be in his presence. Don't get me wrong. There are, order should be, you know, there is a chain of command and there are things that should be put in place and in order. But I think we get so off focused off of the things of God and we start thinking about what the man is going to think that we miss out on God moving.
Ooh.
You never know who's in the presence. You never know if that visitor may be an angel in the form of a man. You never know if Christ may come and visit through the form of a man. You never know. So why do we have to be so circumvential about positions, about the way it used to be done? You know, I did this because my daddy did it. And most people go to church, the church that most of us go to, we go to that church because that's where my mama went. That's where my great-grandfather went. That's where my great-great-grandfather went. But there ain't no change in your life, and you're wondering why you're staying in the same position, because you're not in the right place. Because your culture and your authority would tell you, no, you got to go here. My mama went there. She was a praying mama. Oh, yeah, my grandmama went there. But what has happened in your life? Is that the right place for you to be? Is that where you're getting change? Is that where you're getting transformation? Is that where your renewing is being exemplified? Some of us got to move around and find the right place in the right position. See, positioning is very important. It's not by power. Now watch this. It's not by power. It's not by might. But it's by your spirit. Oh, you got to be in the right position to get the spirit. You can't be over here knowing it's dark. No one is not godly and expect the Spirit to come and save you. You got to get in the right place, in the right time. When? See, that's fast. Your mind has to be the one to take it before it was taken. See, a lot of us will run off and just grab it and run. Take this, go, run. Get down the street, here comes the police, and they pull you over, and you're like, what? I didn't do nothing. My friend handed me this. But you didn't take the time to ask the question. Who person is that? If y'all just run. No. I need to know who person that is. Oh, no, I ain't taking that. You going about your business? Never would have had the incident happen. But just because we just move just to be moving, we grab it, run down the street, and then the police pull us over and say, oh, that's a stolen person. You're under arrest. I didn't steal that purse. My friend gave it to you. You going to jail.
All right.
Okay, how you look at it? You're going to jail. So why not take control? Why not take control yourself and hold yourself accountable? Stop blaming other folks. Stop blaming the devil, number one, because he's just out there to give us another option.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have any power. He doesn't have any authority. Why does the Bible tell you to put your foot, the heel of your foot on his neck? Under you. Why does the word of God tell you to tell him, to profess to him to get thee behind me? Lead us, get in front. So that tells me right there he has no power. He has no authority. He only has an option for me. And when I become conscious minded, now I can see in the spirit the things that aren't of God. Now I can smell in the spirit that that's not of God. Now I can touch in the spirit and know that's not of God. And that's when yes and amen goes forward. That's when yes and amen is confirmed. That's when yes and amen can touch and agree to see the power and the spirit of God move right now. You need a healing right now. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine. And she we were working together, and she was telling me, you know, ever since we ended that project, I've had a headache. And I said, well, right now, immediately. And guess what? That spirit that was on her was removed immediately. You know why? Because we touched and agreed and believed that that just wasn't the man of God using his anointing. No, 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 no. I got the same power. I'm going to touch and agree with his power, and I'm going to believe the word he's speaking as being truth. And guess what? It was gone immediately. I've seen healing happen immediately because the two come together and believe. Not that I'm special or powerful or anything like that, but because we have the power of agreement and the spirit of consciousness that we make godly choices and not worldly choices. We make godly decisions to get to godly results. We speak godly words and see life go forth. Those are called choices. This battle begins with choices. Choices to be blind or choices to see. Choices to live or choices to die. Choices to be who you're supposed to be or choices to fail. There's no middle ground. There's not an area that the enemy will accept you, and there's not an area God will accept you and say it's just okay. You have to come all the way or nothing. And I'm encouraging you today to say all the way. I'm encouraging you today to say no more, no more looking back. I'm encouraging you today to say enough is enough. And not just in the cliche form. See, the words we speak become the power of our spirit. The letter killeth, but when it becomes spiritual, it gives life. So if I speak my words in the spirit, they will produce life. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. It will produce life. So when we become conscious and we say that we're not going to allow these faulty perceptors to now guide us in our choices, but we're going to lean on the power and the spirit of God and his word and allow it to resonate, reside in us, that now is not me, but it's the Christ in me. It's not my decision. It was God's will for me. It's not my choice. It was the choice that God set before me. Because we can always stand there and understand, if you get in the spirit and you start to understand that the battle is to pull you one side or the other, it's not trying to leave you in the middle, and it's trying to play tug of war too. It wants all of you. And that goes for the conscious and the subconscious. When we understand that, and when we're in that realm of battle, and we make conscious choices, the enemy will get smart and stop leaving you alone in certain circumstances. But the Bible says, take up your cross daily and follow him. So we got to understand that it don't end just because you made it today. The word says we got to take it up daily and follow him. But stop taking up the same cross. Let's graduate from one and go take care of another. And let's become complete. Let's become full. Let's become all God said that we can be. Stop being just a conqueror and be more than a conqueror. Woo, see, that's powerful. That's a powerful scripture. A lot of people say, I'm more than a conqueror. And you don't really understand that the word says that I am more than. That means that you are been elevated above the conqueror. But it don't come just because you've been adopted or because you were cleansed white as snow or by the blood of Jesus that you've been brought into this family. That means that your choice realm has elevated you to be more than. So you don't have, that's why the battle is not yours. Because you are more than. You are greater than circumstance. You are greater than poverty. You are greater than pain, suffering. Evil people. You're greater than that because you got a conqueror that has already went and done it. So the word has to become life in us, that when you say more than conqueror, you see yourself as more than. And when there's a tiny old little devil come, you can just go on and kick him under your foot and have it done. And have it done immediately. Not next year, not 5 years from now, but right now. See, in my mind, you know, we really want to obey God's law. I don't doubt there's not a person listening right now that doesn't want to obey God's law. I guarantee you that we've always, you know, thought we were doing the right thing. But to truly be in the service of God, it has to be total. It has to be complete. It has to be uncompromisable. When it comes to the things of God, it has to become, but there's not even a choice. And the better we get at something, the more we practice something, the more that we give our attention to him. Remember I said, whatever you give your attention to, that spirit will come to live inside of you. See, as we give our attention to him consciously, consistently, and focused, he'll begin to come living inside of us, and then the choices will not even be a choice anymore. It's automatic. Oh, hallelujah. It's automatic to praise him when it ain't good. Soon as a bad situation happens in my life, automatically I praise him. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect and all that, I'll be wanting to kick the table sometimes too, but every time a circumstance comes up, you know what, I just find it in my spirit to say, you know what, just because, hallelujah, and I just see, and all of a sudden things will start to change. Because then the atmosphere will open up, and now the circumstances will get taken over by the worship and the anointing. And then that's when you start to see the things that are not of God just erase themselves out your life. Because my prayer every day is, if it's not of God, I don't want it around me. If this project isn't from God, I don't want to talk about it. If this decision is not God-led, I'm not going to do it. And as I make those choices and as I become habitual, I start to develop characteristics of God. I start to gain my birthrights back. Oh, yes. I'm high on the birthrights. Because, you know, Adam walked very, he walked and talked with God. He didn't have no worries. He was confident that God was who he said he was. He had courage to do whatever God instructed him to do. He didn't second think, like, well, you really want me to go name all them animals? He went and did it. He had courage. He had hope that tomorrow God was going to be there. He didn't have to question it. He had faith that whatever it is he put his hands to, it was blessed. The ball. He had trust to do anything because he knew it was of God. But the enemy comes, and it comes to rob, kill, and destroy. And he wants to take away our birthrights. But when we start to get our thinking in order, and we start to get our focused attention on God, we can now take back what the enemy has stolen. We can walk in victory. We can walk with strength. Then when you put on the whole armor of God, you really are exercising every part of it. See, some of us may, you know, we put on just the shield, but we still get beat up from behind. Or we don't put the helmet on, and we wonder why our head is getting attacked. And we're not girded up. So the attack is coming from below. And our feet aren't protected. So we can't walk and stand in the battle. We must put on the full armor. We must put on the full protection. We must put on the complete anointing of God. Watch the completeness of God work in your life. It will happen. Without a doubt, it will happen. Now, when we become to prove to God that we're acceptable, that we're willing to be in his will, All we got to do is ask, and it'll be given. All we have to do, you know, the Bible says, Matthew 6 and 33, it says, seek ye first. Now look, that word first, that was plain and simple. You can't jump to second or third. You must do what it says first. Mm-hmm. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And not just seek the kingdom of God, but seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Right.
Now, righteousness, God gave me a definition for righteousness. When you become righteous, that's because you made right choices.
Mm-hmm.
When you make right choices, you are righteous. And your right choices, when they're led by God, are righteous. Because they're not whose choices, but they're his. They're not Monday choices, but they're all choices. They're not Sunday choices, they're everyday choices. Because then, all things will. Not maybe, not coulda, woulda, shoulda. It says, all things will be added unto you. That's testimony time. That I got to take the first step to seek him in his kingdom, which is in heaven, and then make right choices. I made right choices to get on my knees right now. I made right choices to not go here tonight or to go spend this money or to buy this because you didn't really need it, but you just, you know, everybody else got one.
Uh-huh.
And we make choices because of our culture and authority. We make choices because of our intuition. We make choices because of our reasoning. We make choices because of our past. And we have to get away from making those choices. We have to decide to go forward with God in God's time, making God's choices when he said make them. Not yesterday and not tomorrow, but right now choices. That will ultimately change your circumstances immediately. You want to see God move in your life? Let God see move in his life. You start to move by the choices that you make. You start to show God your commitment to him is not just by your lip service. It's not just because you're reading, you know, a scripture in the morning or maybe praying at lunch. But through your actions, through your choices, that will prove to God that you're pleasing in his eyesight. That will prove to God that, you know what, it ain't about her no more. They finally got that principle of that if you decrease, I must increase. They finally realize it. That the app is there that's applicable for their lives. And if they download this into them, woo, hallelujah. If they download this app into them, that they don't have to go looking far, all they got to do is push the icon and I'm there immediately. Woo! You know, if you get that, if some of these scriptures that we profess as being truth, and we put them in our spiritual application, our app file, that when we start to go through the things, we know just to push the right icon. Woo! Hallelujah! That just came to me too. Woo! Hallelujah! See, when you push the right icon, the right results come.
Oh.
But you gotta stop pushing the wrong app.
Yes.
You got to start pushing the app that applies to the circumstance. And if you're not conscious in God, that's why we don't know what app fits what application. We don't know what app fits what situation. We don't know how to get the results of what the app said it would do. You know, every time you get an app on your phone, it has a description of what it does. And then when it doesn't do what it does, you look at it and people, they blog reports. It didn't work. It didn't load this. It didn't do that. Same thing with God. When you've got an application and you're not doing, and it doesn't work for the right thing, you need to get rid of the app or learn how to make the app work correctly.
Okay.
And the only way the applications of God work, the only way his word works, is that you must be in union with him in oneness. where you eliminate any other options. That's key there. Eliminating any other options puts you in a place of victory. When we don't have to worry about the battle anymore, because it's already won, but we don't see it as being won. We just heard it was won. But we got to start to transform this victory being won by Christ as a perception on the inside that will give us a true touchstone. See, a touchstone is when you remember something. A touchstone is remembering God's goodness. Praise and worship, remembering God's goodness. Not praising him, I'm praise you, Lord, because you're going to give me $1 million. No, we praise him for his already completed goodness. That's when we get in line. That's when we get in order. That's when God moves. And you now start to see God's moving. It's called transforming the invisible into the physical. Everything of God is we must walk by faith and not by sight. But when you want to start to see your faith manifest from the invisible to the physical, from the invisible to the visible, you now learn that I see it on the inside before you got here. My mind ain't foggy no more. When you spoke, most of us, when we get a word of God from a woman, man or woman of God, we should immediately see the results in our spirit. But because of our thinking being so fogged and so distorted, we don't see exactly the way God said it. So we don't know how to have it. Because you got to be able to see it before you can receive it. Then you must receive that it's truth. Then you can see it. Now you can have it.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Stop playing a lotto, because that's not the way God is trying to bless us.
No.
He could put it in your bank account today, baby, if he wanted to. He wouldn't need you to buy six numbers. If he wanted you to have $92.5 million, he could put it in your bank account today, and the bank couldn't even question it. Ain't the way. Pick six ain't the way. Scratch off ain't the way. The horses ain't the way. Dice ain't the way. Nothing's the only way is through Christ. All the riches, all the glory, all will be added unto you when you believe, when you trust, when you receive, and when you do what he said do. I want the blessings of God. I got to do what God said do. I want the promises of God. I got to start getting in line with him and stop making dumb choices. I want what God said he had for me. Because he said before the foundation of the world, he already knew your name, planned who you was, and knew what you was going to do. Why can't I have that? If he already knew it, why can't I have it? That's because I'm not in line with him. And God ain't going to bless no mess. If it's not in order, God, you can go ahead and just take it to the bank. God ain't going to be a part of it. And I hope I'm not being too straightforward. Yeah, but yes, I do. I hope I am being too straightforward, because I want you to understand that it's enough of sugarcoat things. It's enough of someone not saying what's really the truth. And it's enough of worrying about, are they going to let me come back? Are they going to? No, what has got to be done is that we have to be held accountable. Not just me holding you accountable, you holding me accountable, me holding you accountable, us holding each other accountable, us coming to each other when a circumstance comes up. What's the first number you should call? Not your sister and your brother. It should be your friends and your family in Christ. But we always turn to the world first. That's changing the way we think has to come in, that there's no other options. If there's something comes up, it has to be, I got to go through God. If there's a certain, I have to go through God. It's called no options but God. When you make that choice, now you've stepped over to the other side. Now you step to the side and say, you know what? It ain't me no more. It's him. When you make that choice there, that there's no more options, now you can start to develop this word in you that will start to perform through you. And it don't take a long time, baby. It comes immediately. It comes when you make that choice. When you say yes, it's done. When you say yes, he starts. When you say yes, you now activate the glory of God in your life to now start to move and manifest the promises in your life, through your life. And here's another app. I know I'm throwing a lot of apps at you today. If you in there, if you out here trying to get blessed just for you, hang it up. God wants to bless you, but he wants to bless you to bless others. And this one here is for the leadership. All the leadership that's on the thing right now. God is trying to build a body. He is trying to develop his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. But it's going to take us leaders to decrease and come together in unity. Not worrying about who's one, who's two, who's three, who's four, but worrying about God is the only one. That's called no options. There's not another option. We're just servants that come together and say, oh, yeah, I got that. Oh, yeah, I can do that. Oh, yeah, I can do that. Oh, sure, I'll do that. Oh, I don't mind this Sunday. I'll sing the song. I don't care. Y'all preach. See, that's when we come together and we let God move.
All right.
I had a vision of a great revival that hit the United States, city by city, and it's called tag team. There's no pre-getting ready. There's no scriptures. There's just who starts and who finishes. But when the sermon begins, the word will go forth if everyone stays in agreement with God. Now we'll see God start to move because it won't be our words. It won't be our study. It'll be his word. Because if you study the word enough and you give the word your attention, the word will come live inside of you. Now that word will go forth and nobody can stop it. Nobody gets the credit. Nobody gets the glory. Nobody gets the towel wiped over your forehead. God gets the glory for everything. Now, you start operating in that leadership. You start operating with those principles of understanding, first of all, there must be roles and goals that are set between any family, any relationship, any communication. You must have roles and goals. And once you establish these things, because we're conscious Christians now, we're not the subconscious. So when we start to make conscious choices, the conscious decisions of stepping into our role and having a common goal, watch God do what he said he's going to do in your ministry. All the prophecies that's been spoken over your ministry, order what's holding it back. All the things that have been spoken into your life about what you should have, would have, could have been, they on hold because of lack of order. Now, for those perfect Christians out there, I'm not talking to y'all right now. I'm talking to those of us that have a little issue here and there, that are still battling with this and still battling with that and haven't gotten it all the way right yet. I'm talking to those of us that enough is enough of playing. And we got to get in line to see, because God called, what God said was true. All those prophecies that were given to you were correct. And they still can come to fruition. I want everybody out there to do this with me before we close. Just take a deep breath in and blow it out. It ain't too late. Do that with me again. Suck in. Blow out. It ain't too late. Whatever God said, it's not too late. As long as you have that same ability to breathe in and breathe out, it's not too late. God says today is your day. God says now is the time for you to take back what God said you can have in your life. Now it's time for you to defeat the enemy and receive the glory of God back in your life and get back in line with him immediately. Your past has been wiped away. Your future will be killed by him, but your now is available for you right now.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
All you got to do is say amen. And guess
amen.
What? You're back in line.
Amen.
But the
amen. Amen.
Just make a conscious choice that there's
yes. Jesus, that's all right. That's all right. My God. Woo. Word, word, word. Amen. Good word.
Amen.
Glory to God. My Lord.
Hallelujah. Lord, you just wait, Lord Jesus. We're gonna just bless you right now, Lord Jesus. We're just gonna lift you up. We're gonna lift you up in worship. We wanna build a throne of worship.
God.
Lord,
thank you
find pleasing in your eyesight to come and visit with us.
Yes,
and Lord, as we come together, there's no more wondering are you here. There's no more confessing that we're one or two are together. We come expecting you.
Yes.
Totally in our lives. That, Lord, we come before you right now, Lord, that immediately you've already fixed it. That, Lord, immediately it's already done. That immediately it's already changed.
Yes.
Lord,
hallelujah.
Lord, we give you all the give you all the glory. We give you all the power in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Well, glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Taking assessment, doing examination. question of where you at in Christ Jesus. Where do you stand? What do you want to God to provoke in your life? We got to stir up some things. That's what provoking.
Hallelujah.
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 Prophecy going forward. I mean, we need to realize everything that God has put in this word for us to do. It's time to get busy. Souls are dying. Hallelujah. We worrying about a 60-inch screen. Souls are dying and we're trying to go to the Stellar Awards. Souls are dying and we're trying to get a $200 Nike. Souls are dying and people don't have nowhere to stay. Folks don't have no food on the table. And we worry about these tangible things. Hallelujah. Go out into the highway in the heaven and compel men to come. Glory to God. Go out into the highway in the heaven and compel men to come. This thing is about souls. It's not about your agenda. It's not about your edification. It's about souls. I don't almost find out. God, we're going to close all night. This is the kind of day where you want to just stay in the presence of God. Oh, yes, we want to give you more. Hallelujah, forever John Singer Song. He wants it all. Hallelujah, God wants all of you today. He wants it all. God, I bless you today, Jesus.
Thank you.
weekend. We'll see you all on Monday. Those that tune in on Saturday and Sunday, we'll see you then. But
God bless you.
This weekend. Thank you, Pastor Hamilton. Thank you. Hallelujah. God bless you all.
Hallelujah. God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.